Om Shanti. Today in our session, we have Sister Gudrun from Oxford, London. Originally, she is from Germany, and she is in Gyan from last 30 years, and she is a dedicated soul in Oxford, London. So, a hearty welcome to Sister Gudrun in our group, and now we are going to hear from Sister Gudrun. So, first of all, what is the meaning of Gudrun?
Om Shanti, thank you for inviting me first. It's an honor to be in this group. Thank you very much. The meaning of my name, you can think of a meaning, but my parents didn't know and didn't think of any meaning. Yeah. Most names in the West don't have any meaning. Yeah. It's not like here. But Gudrun, if you split it into Gud and Rune, Gud stands for God, and Rune is like a magical sign. So that's what you can think of. But my parents certainly didn't.
Mm-hmm. Because in India mainly, especially in Hindu religion, if they have any name, they have either belong to some deities or something, some meaning is there in the name. So that's why I thought to ask you what the meaning of Gudrun.
No, it's different in the West.
Okay. So, how you came in Gyan and how you came contact with Brahma Kumaris?
Okay. I was 24 years old when I came into contact, and I first heard about the Brahma Kumaris from a previous neighbor whom I had gone to see, and she was just doing the meditation course. This was in Hamburg in Germany, and what this friend was telling me sounded so interesting that I thought, this is what I want to try. Because around that time I had been introduced to spirituality a little bit via my Lokic brother, who had started to meditate, and he was studying philosophy and things like that. So I wrote to the center when the next course is, and they told me it starts on the 9th of November, I still remember. I attended that course. This was 1986. You weren't born, I know. So I did the meditation course, and what really fascinated me was Gyan. It wasn't meditation so much, although I went there because I wanted to learn meditation, but really Gyan fascinated me totally, and especially the knowledge of the cycle. And it was going round in my head non-stop. I couldn't get it out of my head. But what I didn't really trust completely was that this knowledge really comes from God. I had my doubts there. But still, that knowledge was in my head all the time, because it was as if I had recognized it deep inside, and I had known it before, but I wouldn't have been able to put it in my words. And it answered many questions I had, which no one else could answer before. So then eventually, or in between then, I didn't go to the center straight away for Murli, but then they invited me and that friend who was doing the course for a retreat. She cancelled last minute, I went, and then this enthusiasm and fascination for knowledge increased even more. And at that retreat I decided, if this really is truth, then I must know, I must find out if it really is God and truth or not. And I knew the only method to find that out is if I go in the mornings for Murli. So then I started to go every day since then. And in those days it was, if you started to come for Murli, you came every day. Nowadays it's like people come sometimes in the evening, they come sometimes Sunday mornings, and they think they're studying knowledge. But in those days you either came every day or you didn't come at all. So I came every day, although I had a full-time job. I was living a little bit outside of the city. I had to come in by train. I left home 5:10, ready with my food for the day, went to the center, from the center to work, and then home in the evening. And it was like my head was in a different dimension, because I liked it all so much. And then slowly, slowly my doubts disappeared. So I can't say I had a moment of recognition of Baba, but it was more like I recognized knowledge, and then slowly I knew it was God. And somehow in my heart I knew from the beginning, but my intellect couldn't accept. And by the way, that friend, she never came. Until now, there's no one else in my family who's Indian. They're just not interested. I brought my mum and my auntie to Madhuban for peace of mind. But then my mum, after that, became even more involved in Christianity. And my auntie, just nothing stayed in her head. And my brother, who was really interested in spirituality and meditation, and he even learned Sanskrit, Hindi, he had traveled in India. He had come to Mount Abu the year before I came to Gyan, but he didn't find the Brahma Kumaris. And over the years I sent him many of Baba's books, and he reads them. But still he says, yeah, maybe it is God. God has many ways. So it's still only me after good 30 years in Gyan in my family.
So are you sending some prakash to your family, to your brothers?
Not too much, sometimes. Well, when I meet them, I try conversations, but I also try not to push them too much.
So, have you decided to dedicate your life?
How I decided?
What makes you to feel?
It was when I came to Oxford, really, and even there, not immediately. So while staying in Germany and working full-time, I was 7 years in Gyan. And then they got the retreat center in Oxford. And I went for the first retreat with the Germans there. And by that time I had just resigned my job because I wanted to find a new one. And when I was there, I liked it so much in Oxford. And I had this desire, I would like to be here for a while before I look for a new job. So I investigated how to go about, and that sister said, well, ask Daddy Janki. This was in December, and then I came to Madhuban in February, and I went straight to Daddy. I'd never spoken to Daddy personally before, but I went straight to Indraprasth and asked her if I could come for a month. And she said, very welcome, with a big smile. And then I quickly said, I can come for 2 months. And she said, okay, come for 2 months. And I hadn't told my center sister, because I knew that she wouldn't have liked me to go. And when I came out of Indraprasth, I met her, she walked there. So I told her, and then she just said, what can I do now? Kind of too late. Yeah, and then I went to Oxford. That was in April 94. And many of the sisters there said to me, what if Daddy would ask you to stay here? And I always thought, no, she would never do that. And I could never imagine I would leave my country and be in another place and be full-time in Baba's house. But then those 2 months, they turned into 8 months. For the first winter I went back, and by then I had the desire, I want to stay there. And they said, very welcome, stay. So I grew into it. It wasn't that I wanted to surrender. It was like, I liked that life, I liked the place, and I wanted to live like that.
Are you full-time dedicated, or are you doing some part-time job also?
No, I haven't.
Full-time dedicated?
Full-time. The last 23 years.
Okay. So what's your experience when you, first time you came in Madhuban or you met Baba? What blessing Baba gave you?
Okay. So I came to Madhuban, this was March 88. That was the last year Baba gave personal meetings. But what I remember even more than that is, the morning we arrived, it was a Thursday morning, they pushed us into the history hall and Daddy Janki was giving nectar. So she was sitting there on the gati, her big hair open, and she was giving nectar. And when I saw her, I nearly fainted, because I liked her so much. it was also, I must have a connection with that soul, also a recognition. So I was so impressed. I liked her so much. I had read her classes before, and I liked those too, but then seeing her, I was really impressed. Okay, but then meeting Baba. Meeting Baba wasn't as beautiful as I had hoped it to be or imagined it to be. Because when I was sitting in front of Baba, for a long time, he didn't look into my eyes. And I had only heard stories about his drishti. And then I sit in front of him, and I felt he's not looking at me. He was looking at my heart. So that really confused me. It felt really like ages. And now I understand that he must have done some surgery in my heart, which was definitely necessary. And then he eventually did look at me and into my eyes, and it was beautiful. And then he said, "Do you experience you are that soul who has claimed all rights in every kalpa?" But because he looked at my heart for so long and not into my eyes, I didn't feel that at all. So I didn't want to answer because I didn't feel it. So he then went on, he said, "Because of that you must be so happy." But I didn't feel that happy either. But then he continued saying, "The more you continue to distribute your happiness, the more it will increase." Then he gave me Toli, saying, "Very courageous soul." And then he said, "Because you are a great donor, you will continue to move forward." So afterwards, I appreciated that blessing a lot. But at that moment, not really so much.
What are your specialties and hobbies and which you are using in Baba Seva?
Well, maybe specialities are a few talents which I learned from my parents. They were gardeners and we had a flower shop. And that's what I'm doing now in Oxford. My main task there is help to look after the grounds, 55 acres. I do all the flower decorations in the house. Also decorations for special events like Rakhi, Diwali, or all the things happening. Also teaching. And more I'm now also involved in creative things. I don't know if you've heard of Peace in the Park, a festival which we have had over the last 6 years in summer, a festival over 3 days. And for that we do lots of things ourselves. Like we paint huge stage backdrops and things like that. For one tent, for example, where we had the meditations for God, we created a huge Shiv Baba, which is 18 meter long. It's 18 meter. It's a hexagonal tent. No, 1.8. 1.8. This is big enough. And it goes over 3 sides of the tent, so that people really feel he's embracing them. And things like that I enjoy a lot. Actually, I enjoy all my duties, everything.
So what's the difference between the seva which you are doing there in London or in any foreign countries, and what's the difference here, I mean, in Madhuban or in India? What kind of difference you feel in the seva? Do you feel any difference?
I'm not sure if I can say how different it is here because I've never really lived here. But what I see is when the sisters surrender here and live in the center, they're teachers. But in the West, most of us also teach, and I also teach, but it's not a full-time job. There isn't that much to teach. We have to be all-rounders. All of us have to do many things. And when you live in a retreat center, there's a lot of physical work to do. And we all have to do it. That's a big difference I see.
So, according to the time, what's your current effort, what you are doing now, special efforts?
My time this time in Madhuban was a lot about the heart and about love. And I really felt that Brahma Baba is so much more loving than I'd ever thought. And to make my heart big and loving and generous was the effort I had thought for this year anyway. And then to experience and know more about Brahma Baba's and of course Shiv Baba's love too has been really interesting. We heard so many stories this year how loving Brahma Baba really was, that he never got angry, that he was always loving, always supportive, and had different ways of teaching. And that surprised me a little bit, because we also know stories from Daddy Janki that he wasn't always that loving. With her he was strict. But most people who shared experiences here, they say he was only loving. And then I went about to interview or to ask several people who knew him, who met him personally. And they all said, all of them said, with me or with them, he was only loving. He was strict when it came to the disciplines and the maryadas, but on a personal level, he was only loving. And that really struck me this year.
By which relation you remember the Baba most?
I like the friend best. That's what Baba also says. In the Western countries, you like to have friends. But a friend for me really is the best relationship, because a friend means someone who knows you very well, who respects you a lot, whom you can totally trust, and who will always support you. Father I never liked so much, because my relationship with my Lokic father wasn't that good.
Do you remember any incident that time you were in great trouble and you called Baba and he helped you?
I do remember, usually it works the way he lets me struggle and make effort for a while myself, and then eventually he helps. It's not that I call out and he comes immediately and is there. Yeah, but he does help. And it's always just before I slip into losing hope, slightly. That's always when he comes and helps.
It sometimes happens with many BK and many people. That time they was in big problem or something going on with them, and they just called Baba, and Baba comes there. Miss comes them, and they got the help from him. So I'm asking about that kind of incident.
Not sure really, but something always happens when I really need the help. And it's not that I call out at that moment, but I feel Baba does help me a lot.
Mean you are keeping Baba all the time with you, no need to call him, he's always with you.
I wouldn't claim that, I make the effort, but I don't think it's the case all the time.
Any suggestion or advice for our group, or you want us to do some more newness, some creativity?
Continue meeting, I think it's first great that you do this. And to have spiritual friendship, I think is a fantastic thing, that you can talk to your companions, exchange and have spiritual conversations. I think that's extremely valuable. And be honest.
Okay, so on behalf of our group, lot of thanks to Sister Gudrun for accepting our invitation.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you to you. Thank you to Baba. Om Shanti.
Okay, love.